It's the entry in the Conjuring universe so underwhelming that they later decided it wasn't actually in the Conjuring universe. It's the Edward Norton Hulk of the franchise. The Curse of La Llorona was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi there, my name's Sean Collier. I am in different places with two people who just wanted to go to a nice symphony dinner, and now they're eating people. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Nom nom nom.
And Camila Adams. You know this show Scare Tactics is back?
I don't even know what that is.
This is my first time hearing of it. Like, I just saw it on Peacock the other day.
It's like Candid Camera, but the things that happen are, like, scary.
Oh, okay. You know,
basically, it's a place where friendships go to die.
Yeah.
And there's no fucking way somebody set me up like that.
Episode one, a guy takes his buddy, and the premise is it's like a secret chef's table thing. And they keep eating increasingly endangered animals until eventually, like, this is human.
Oh, my God.
Although, credit to the writers, they say there's a euphemism. They're like, we're currently serving long pig. That's the... And, like, he thinks about it for a while, and then he's like, I'm here, and just goes ahead and eats. And I'm like, not only did you do that... Well, then when they brought the waiver around, you're like, yeah, it's fine. Broadcast me willingly deciding.
Right, yeah. That's not a good look, friend. Like, you're
no.
I can't like not, that.
No.
Not having him over for dinner anytime. We're talking obliquely about Red Dragon, which was last episode's subject. It got a 61, which sounds fine. We did do Silence of the Lambs, and that was 91 and a third. So it's a step back, but it's 61. It's right. Okay. And we're in different places because I have a lingering cold that, you know, all diseases.
One of those places has a dog. One of those places has a dog that's going jingle jangle. Note from the editor.
Oh, he's currently doing his thing where he takes way too long to tuck himself into a blanket. So it'll jingle now, but then probably sleep. I have this cold.
So that's why this sounds weird. Yeah. And Sean, I'm sorry you're not feeling well.
Yeah. It's that time of year. But Camila, tell us about this fancy setup we got going on here.
We are recording on the Riverside platform here, which is a friend to all audio and video and podcasters, recorders, and all of the nature. Folks who like to record video and audio. And it's got all the bells and whistles. They keep making it a little bit more intuitive every day. Or every week there's something new, and you can. I love the text to video editing system that they have in here too, and also Ooh. Just being able to record everybody on separate tracks and of high quality each track. So there's a lot going on here. So in Riverside, if you'd like to sponsor us, please get at your girl.
I was just gonna say, I'm like, this is not an ad,
hey, right?
It could be.
Peanut timed it perfectly there where I unmuted and he immediately started barking. Why don't I take a moment and put him somewhere else? Let's
Okay.
Anyway, did I even say, hey, there's Camila Adams?
You did.
You did.
Did you I?
Did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also my brain. So after all that, we're here to talk about a movie that I wouldn't remember if I had watched it yesterday, let alone having watched it like a week and a half ago.
I know, right?
It's The Curse of La Llorona. Which I said pronounced.
I want to say, Sean, I don't think you mispronounced it. You pronounced it the South American way, which makes sense because your introduction to this myth was that Uruguayan film.
Guatemalan, I think.
Okay, well, never mind. That's not South America.
Never mind. You suck. You're horrible. Your accent is terrible.
Never mind. My facts are wrong. Your accent is wrong.
Yes.
Your pronunciation.
We're all a little bit wrong, but none of us are as wrong as... the makers of this film and most of their choices. I forgot what a combination of boring and ill-advised this movie is. Had either of you seen it?
Oh my God, no.
No, I had not seen it. For whatever reason, I didn't have any interest. And it's like the trailer doesn't look bad, but I don't know. I just was like, no, thanks.
We just said the magic word trailer, and it's going to be a pretty short edit because so much of this trailer is spooky noise. Bang, bang, bang. So I'm only going to leave in a few of those.
I'm very sorry about your loss.
It's your fault!
Your children.
Mincing.
Are safe now. But have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting of her tears? They will. And she will come for them. Who? La Llorona. Father, can you help us?
The church works with people who specialize in situations like this.
Get to La Llorona.
Is she coming?
She's already here.
The curse of La Llorona.
I mean, it's every other Conjuring Universe trailer ever. Oh, there's a slightly wet CGI screamy lady, and she's coming for you. Is she the nun? Is she a doll? Is she just a demon this time?
So I've only seen Conjuring Universe movies that we have watched on this show, and I don't even know how many that is. I know we watched The Nun.
I know.
Did we have another one? Did we have an Annabelle?
I think we did.
Yeah, we had an Annabelle.
Because we talked about Alfre Woodard, or I think I remember. So there's like three Annabelles, two nuns, three Conjurings.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've never seen any of the original Conjurings.
And like the only connection really is that priest in this one, in La Llorona.
Yeah, say more, Sean, about your retroactive, it's the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
I'll save it for the Faxi segment.
Okay.
Right now, I just want to get a quick reaction from the two of you coming fresh to this picture.
Oh. Honk shoe, honk shoe, snoring sounds, etc.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not. Yeah. It took me like a week, like this entire week and a half to watch this movie.
A 92 minute movie.
Right. Yeah. That's what. And I'm going in like, oh yeah, this is a quick breeze, and then. You know, we got pushed back. I was like, well, fine. I don't need to finish this right now. Or then, like, oh, I'm falling asleep. Oh, look at that. I need to, like, do laundry. Like, I don't, like, it was just, ugh. I felt like Linda
Cardellini.
Cardellini. And the other, and the guy, Raphael. They were, like, in two different. Yeah, they were in two different places. Like, she's, like, giving it her all. She's trying, really. She's trying her best to make this shit work. And he's just like, I mean, it's a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I feel, or his character's name Raphael, the actor's name is, I think, Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond Cruz.
I love that actor. He's one of those people, every time he pops up in something, first of all, I imitate that one line when he tries the blue meth on Breaking Bad, where he's just like, red, yellow, okay. tight.
tight, yeah. Blue, yellow, pink. Whatever, man. Just keep bringing me that.
Like, we're talking about Tuco, right? Okay, good. Tuco.
Yes,
yeah.
Okay. Oh, I thought Tuco was the older guy. Regardless, Colin's
going to be... No, that's Gustavo.
Colin's going to be so mad at me that I'm getting my Breaking Bad facts wrong. He is, like, the biggest Breaking Bad fan in the universe. Regardless, I love that guy. He's not good in this.
No, and I've seen him do things very well, and I don't know what happened here.
I was like, is this a situation where I've never seen him push this far out of his typical range? But right. I don't think it is. Like, I was kind of like flipping through his credits, and I was like, no, he does do a lot of interesting different things. But for whatever reason, he can't do woo, which is what this character is. Like, he just looked, when he was smudging those women, I was like, this looks pretend.
Yeah.
I think he decided that the project was bad, but felt like it was rare for him to get billing, you know? Mm. I mean, he was a pure character actor, and this is probably his first, like, above the tight, if he was, post Breaking Bad, and so he committed to it and did it, and then I feel like I'm looking at him go, oh, this is bad, though.
Yeah! I hate it when actors who I particularly like have a rough go, because I'm like, we were rooting for you.
This was your chance. Shine bright.
Linda is trying. I mean, it doesn't help, but she's committed.
Snore. She's bringing nothing to me. And I love her. I'm a Freaks and Geeks fan.
Right.
But she was better in Green Book. What a ridiculous sentence.
Camila, did you get anything out of this?
Not really.
More in the genre than Robin.
Yeah, not really. I mean, no, honestly, like this really was just kind of blah for me. And I was like kind of into the idea of it being part of the Conjuring universe. And I went ahead and like started from the beginning of like how to watch them in the chronological story order of there. And so I like started from the beginning and went on with this one. Like I said, it took me like a week and a half to actually like finish it. Like I just finished the last 10, 15 minutes right before we started recording.
We're coming hot.
Good. You can tell me what they are, because it's not like I was paying attention at the time. Like what? Oh, they're screaming at each other? Okay, great.
Yeah, it's really just like, you know, just the unclimactic. Like it's just kind of like, okay. It's just easy.
I do want to say that I think we should do the plot description. It's not mine, is it?
No, it's mine.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It won't take 60 seconds.
Okay.
Linda Cardellini is a social worker. She finds some kids locked in a room and their mom acting all violent and crazy. So she takes the kids away because that's her job, obviously, and the only logical thing to do in that situation. Nevertheless, the kids get drowned by La Llorona, a ghost who drowned her children and feels bad about it, so now drowns other children. Let's not get into the mythology. Anyway, angry mom has no chill and prays to La Llorona to drown Linda Cardellini's kids. Linda asks the priest from Annabelle for help. He says, oh, you need Tuco from Breaking Bad, who does a generally poor job at protecting the family. Linda ends up just stabbing her with, like, an important piece of wood, I guess. Dumb. That's it.
Yep, there it is.
I had to go to the Wikipedia to be like, the wood, it's a cross, and it's made from the tree near the where tree she drowned her.
The trees that were the only witnesses to her crime.
Right.
It's so stupid.
You could just stab a water ghost, and I'm dead now.
Yeah. How does she become corporeal enough for them to stab her and kill her? That's just,
Yeah.
Is that part of the actual myth?
I don't think so. As far as I could tell, the actual myth varies from not just country to country, but like indigenous group to indigenous group. But it usually is like it's a kids behave parable.
Right.
It's teaching kids not to wander away at night near water because they might fall in and drown. So they're like, oh, if you hear a woman crying near the river, don't go over there. That's pretty much it.
I think the threat of falling in and drowning should be enough. I don't think we need to add a spooky lady that's going to come drown you.
Kids are idiots.
Yeah, that's true.
They are. They really are. So
what I was going to say, I'm sorry, is like, in addition to this movie being incredibly boring, when I was forcing myself to pay attention, it's really fucking grim. Like, this movie is about children being menaced and killed.
Yeah.
And like, Camila, I wanted to ask you, as a mom, like, was it extra, like, oh my God, like, the kids are constantly in peril.
When did this movie come out?
2019.
Okay, yeah, I feel like that's one of the reasons why I didn't watch it, is because I had just become a mom at that that year. And I was like, oh, I don't think I need this in my psyche. But
you were right.
Yeah. But when watching all of the other ones before, what I've noticed, the Conjuring universe is just basically about moms just in peril and fucking up their kids, like traumatizing their children. Like they get possessed, they traumatize their kids through the possession. And now, you know, it's just, it's like, what is, why, what, who hurt you, James Wan? Like what happened? Are we estranged from our mom? Is that what's going on? What's going on?
I think you are onto something.
Well, I mean, I don't remember who the specific ghoulies are in The Conjuring, but, you know, the nun and Annabelle and this lady and probably some of the demons in The Conjuring movies are all these, like, ooh, what if a lady but spooky ugly face? And it's like, why is this always your go-to?
Yeah.
Misogyny?
The first In the first Conjuring, yeah, it is straight up a mom who, like, kills her kids. That's the ghost that's haunting the spooky, and, like, she hangs herself in the back of the house or something like that, and then, like, there's just, it just keeps going and going. Like, she keeps possessing moms to kill their kids. The second one, it was, like, some old man or whatever, but it's still, like, kids are being traumatized in that situation, too.
This series has gone on too far. It may have gone on too far by being a series. Like, the first one is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Annabelle's okay, you know, but that's... Anyway.
I think what they missed the mark about it being a franchise is that all of that possessed shit in Ed and Lorraine's room, why didn't we just get spinoffs like those things, origin stories?
Yeah, like, let's do one of those at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we didn't need to do this, like, you know, we only needed the one Annabelle and, you know, all this other stuff, like the nun and all that business. And I'm still not quite clear on the connection where the nun is, how they all connect together. But I don't know.
The Warrens did their fake exorcism on one of the nun people. I don't know. Curse of La Llorona. Why did it go to number one? There's only one reason. Easter weekend of 2019 was 1 week before the release of Avengers Endgame. And all of the other studios just got the hell out of the way. They were like, we're not putting something out 1 week before Endgame destroys everything. They thought, well, how much are we going to make off of La Llorona anyway? Throw her out. So that weekend, April the 19th of 2019, the only serious wide release was The Curse of La Llorona. There was a faith-based drama called Breakthrough about a boy who drowned but survived.
I've seen that. That was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, that's right. Yes. How's that?
It's okay. It's of that genre. It, you know, of the ones I've seen, usually because they got nominated for Oscars. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That debuted in third. So Curse of La Llorona won with $26.3 million. Obviously a 1 week winner, because the next weekend Endgame made a record shattering $357 million in 1 weekend, while La Llorona made $8 million.
The biggest difference between one and two ever, I'm sure.
And in fact, La Llorona was three. Two was Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel was like 2 months in and bumped back up to second, probably just on people, like the stray people who hadn't seen it yet and went, shit, I'm going to see Captain Marvel on Friday and then Endgame on Saturday. But yes, the biggest gap between one and two ever, and even more for The Curse of La Llorona. Just imagine walking into that theater and being like, no, the spooky wet lady movie. $54.7 million overall, 51st place for 2019. So, as we're discussing the Conjuring universe, and with the priest from Annabelle there, and briefly seeing Annabelle, this is part of the Conjuring universe, logically and contextually, officially, somehow no. Director Michael Chavez says this is not officially part of the series, because the Conjuring universe movies are all produced by Peter Safran, who is he's the Kevin Feige of the Conjuring universe.
Okay.
He did not produce La Llorona. So in that sense, it doesn't count. There's one other movie like this. It's from 2016. It is called Wolves at the Door. It's a Manson murders movie that also has a character from Annabelle in it. They are connected to the universe, but are not officially part of the series. The only things that are officially part of the series are Conjurings, Nuns, and Annabelles, I guess.
So he's like, what's his face, Richard Belzer on Law and Order and Homicide, but of these movies.
Not really, because that was the same character.
Well, so is this, right? This is the same.
Oh, you mean the priest? The priest.
Yes,
is the same
priest
character.
Is Munch is the character same. I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah.
Apologies. Apologies to the great, the late great Richard Belzer.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a crossover.
Yeah, I guess it's just a loose.
It's just
crossover.
Like saying, you know, my cousin knows fucking Robert Downey Jr. That's what this. That's what this feels like. Trying to get laid off of that. Like that.
I did have the same exact moment I had when I watched Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, where they did a flashback to Shrek, and I went, what the fuck? I had that with Annabelle showing up.
Well, apparently, I don't believe this because the posters have from the producers of the Conjuring universe on the posters. Allegedly, wherever this debuted, I forget if it was Fantastic Fest or South by Southwest. Or one
it's
of
South
those.
By Southwest. I weirdly know that.
They did not intend to say that this was a Conjuring movie. Chavez wanted the Annabelle thing to be a Marvel-esque surprise appearance. And everyone go, oh my god, it's an Annabelle. But then when they did the debut, they were like, all right, everyone welcome the next movie in the Conjuring universe. And he went, dang. I don't know.
Yep.
So it kind of counts and kind of doesn't. I was racking my brain to find another example. Here's what I have. Jay and Silent Bob are in Scream 3. I don't think Scream 3 is in the View-esque universe.
That's right. No.
That is a great analogy.
Yeah.
It's funny because because there's a lot of Clerks stuff in the first Scream, too. Like, there's like three or four different shots. There's a Clerks video or poster in the background somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. That's Jay and Silent Bob are not in Woodsboro. They're not part of the universe.
Right, right, right. Anyway, the next two things this director did were Conjuring 3 and Nun 2. Further muddying the waters.
Yeah.
Nevertheless.
Fine. Whatever. It's part of the universe.
There's a movie from the same year. It's called La Llorona, as Robin already mentioned. It's a Guatemalan film. It uses the legend and the ghost to haunt a slightly fictionalized dictator responsible for horrible atrocities against indigenous people. It's very good. It was shortlisted for that year's Best International Film Oscar. It was on the verge of a nomination, which is weird for a horror movie that I think Shudder distributed. So you should watch that. That's very, very good. A correction. Last time I said that La Llorona was featured in my favorite house at this year's Halloween Horror Nights, which is called Monstros, the Monsters of Latin America. I was wrong. The house featured Tlahuelpuchi, a vampire witch who sucks infant blood. Totally different creature.
Different creature. Probably the same message.
Yeah, right? It's
an infant. What kind of lesson do infants learn?
You're absolutely right. Infants cannot be told don't walk along the riverside. Right. They don't walk, and they don't know how to protect themselves. Right. They're literal infants.
Maybe she's hey parents, don't let your babies out of your sight. You gotta watch your babies.
Maybe.
Otherwise, Tlahuelpuchi might drink their blood. So. It's
kind of seems to be ridiculous that parents have to be told that, but okay.
I mean, also, when does this legend come from? Because if it comes from, you know, before there were antibiotics, that there was really high infant mortality, might just be this is how we're explaining the fact that one out of every five kids dies. Yes, exactly. Like,
listen, South and Central American folklore is troubling and interesting and vivid, and you would not know any of that by watching this movie.
Yes!
So it's a lot of wasted opportunity.
I will wrap up by saying The Conjuring Last Rites, which is supposed to be the last one.
Yeah, right.
Lies.
Due out next year with Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are coming
back. As long as Vera and Patrick are drawing breath, those movies will keep going.
And since we did the trailer, I will mention the Letterbox now. Letterboxd bottom 250 horror films. Yes, the 250 lowest ranking horror films. This is at number 231 with a 1.9 on Letterboxd. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey is at the bottom of the list with a 1.1.
Oh my, I almost watched that the other night. It's like free, streaming free somewhere right now.
No, Mary Beth took that bullet for me. I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, that was the Winnie the Pooh is in the public domain, let's make a horror movie with him project.
So
the trouble is, it was done by people who didn't know how to make a movie. Mary Beth watched it and said it is unequivocally the worst movie she's ever seen. So don't bother with that. And that list was weird. There were a lot of movies. There were a lot of horror movies on there that were just kind of whatever.
That makes sense to me, though, because with horror movies especially, there are horror movie fans who don't care if a movie's incompetently made as long as it has interesting enough kills or gore. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So those are going to pull on Letterboxd like 3 and 4 star reviews from that kind of fan. Right. Whereas just straight up bad, boring like this, what does this have to offer to anyone?
The best thing that I can say about this is I think they did a good job of using silence in a lot of the moments, a lot of the scary moments to kind of help build tension. But that was towards the end, though. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
I got spooked a few times. Like, I was scared when, similar to what you were saying, that when she jumps in the pool at the end to save her daughter, and it's like you can't see anything.
Yeah.
That was definitely like my heart was beating faster. That was like the only time I really had the, like, I'm watching a horror movie feeling. But, like, it did happen.
I liked the translucent umbrella scare. That's new.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
In a see-through umbrella before. This, you know, I like that these kind of are light period pieces in the 70s. And
wow, does Linda Cardellini just look like she exists in that rough time period?
Right?
Like, just always.
I like her, you know.
She's kind of boring. I gotta say, it also felt kind of silly to me that they were like, we gotta find a white person for this movie. you know? Like, and it's like, and she has a dead Mexican husband. And I'm like, you know, why not cast a Mexican lady?
Right. That's what I was most confused about for the line. I just like just kept going. I was like, is Linda Cardellini of Hispanic origin? Is she like,
I'm pretty sure she's Italian.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like it was, she's not a big enough name that I think it was justifiable for money wise for the box office. I
literally think that they were like, we got to have a white person in the mix. And that's just dumb.
Yeah.
Well, and what that, I went back and read my own review from the time, and I was up in arms about it because when I first watched it in 2019, it felt like, do we need a movie about a Mexican ghost terrorizing a white lady right now? Mm.
Right.
And no.
I don't know how.
And I assume that's why she has half Mexican children.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I very much didn't like the children in peril, which is the entire fucking point. But I was like, these poor kids, like that poor girl in the bathtub. That was another part that scared me.
Oh, yeah.
That part scared me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, and maybe this is me being racist, that little girl has an adult's face. That is a face of a person who files taxes.
There were several times I'm like, how old is she supposed to be? Just like certain things she would say or the way she would deliver a line and like the way she looks, like in her eyes, her soul. Your soul is old.
Right. She is a small person. So I assume that she's meant to be like 8.
Right. Like the orphan.
She is genuinely child-sized, but then when they only show her head, it's like, who's this 30-year-old?
Trying to figure out what is a she's 17 now. This movie is five years old, yeah. So she's 12 at the time. Yeah, she just
old soul.
Yeah. Old soul. Janie Lynn Kinchin is her name. And I guess credit to her, she certainly was a better actor than the dumb boy.
It's not his fault.
It is his fault. If your mom is a social worker, you should be clear on the stay in the car if I tell you to stay in the car.
Right, exactly. But they're both a little bit, because I'd like to, like, speaking of the dumb kids, like, kids in peril in movies that their fucking beloved toys, like, going back for them.
Oh,
I am so sick of this.
Also, that was a moment of, this looks like a 30-year-old woman, and she is doing the stupidest thing possible for her emotional support doll.
We just went through this in Speak No Evil.
Right.
They were out of the house, and they're like, oh, we left the doll. It's like, well, we might die, but we don't have the option to not go back and get the... No, just,
right.
Being killed will traumatize your child much more than losing the doll.
Exactly. And Dan and I were talking about that. We're thinking what would have been great as like a post-credit scene is if the family's drives off, they're going home, they stop for gas. In a gas station, it just has like a wall display of all of those bunnies. Just like... They're like giving out those bunnies with a full tank of gas.
I'm looking at my notes to try to remember the movie. I don't know. I wrote down, a convenient exposition priest. That's just... I'm here to explain legends to you. It's, I don't know. It's just...
What is there to say?
This is definitely started a skip with it.
It started with a glimmer of setting and place and tone and just had nothing to do from there. And I gotta blame the director as much as anyone because Nun 2 and Conjuring 3 are also very bad. I just don't think he has any idea what he's doing.
No, I mean, it is.
Nun 2 is a mess.
I felt like this, like I said, this movie's competently made, right? Like, the scenes are lit okay. I could hear the dialogue.
There were words to say.
Yeah. So you want to rate it?
Yeah, I'm looking at my ratings.
Actually, that's a really good point. And right now we all have computers in front of us.
Right?
I know.
What was the name of the, what's the Sunflowers movie?
Oh, jeez, I forget.
I want to say The Happening. That's not it. Mm-mm. Is it The Awakening? No, that was the Mummy movie.
The Messengers.
The Messengers.
All right, so yeah, we did the first Nun.
I gave The Messengers the highest score of the three of us. Weird. Anyway.
I feel like The Messengers was better.
I agree, but barely.
Yeah, like 25. I'll say 25. It's not quite hateable, but only... But even in not being hateable, it's because it's so dull, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go 20.
It doesn't elicit any sort of real emotion. I guess 29. I will never watch this movie again.
Even if you are doing another full, you'll be like...
Nope. And I will never, and I really have no, because the nuns, I really hate those nun movies. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, and even if you did, you could say, well, they say this isn't really part of the series, right. So I can skip Curse of La Llorona, which gets a 24 2/3 from us. Let's hope we can get a horror classic with our final spooky season entry, especially because we're recording that in like 5 days, if nothing changes.
What did we do last? What was the one? Okay, we did Red Dragon and...
Red Dragon and the Curse of, you know... Normal Halloween movies.
Yeah,
right. I was saying before you got on, Sean, like, I'm glad in some ways that we have this boring movie we don't have a lot to say about, because I do have a ton of stuff for You Can't Handle the Truth, because it's been a minute since we recorded. And then I was like, but we better draw something really good for next week, because I will probably be coming in with a movie.
Right. Briefly, the bingo card before that.
Yes.
Directorial debut. This is...
Really?
Poor Michael Chavez's first film.
All right.
And character in school also. Or
were they in school?
Well, they're truant, remember? That's how Linda Cardellini gets in the mix, is that Patricia's kids are truant.
Up to the bingo master.
I think I meant physically in school.
All right.
I assume that... La Llorona is not looking for a job of any kind.
She's good. Anybody go grocery shopping?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
That's it. Well, I'm glad we got that directorial debut out of the way. Wait, do bingos count diagonally?
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah.
Bingo!
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Yay!
Hey, there you go.
Hooray!
Wait, aren't you holding a veto already?
She is.
I am? Yay.
What happens now?
Hang on, let me pull up the bingo rules.
All right, I love that you have that.
All right. Okay, second bingo, you get to pick a movie.
Yes. From the list?
Yep, from the list.
All right.
Yes. It says, so first bingo is new veto. Second bingo, pick a movie. Third bingo, it says question mark, because the only time that happened... before was we decided that I would pick the movie for the 100th episode, and then fourth bingo is pick a movie off the list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will that be our next episode or no?
That's, I think, a Camila question. Camila, do you want to pick a movie for spooky season?
No.
Okay. That's also what I would choose.
Yeah.
I respect that choice.
She also has the veto, so she could just veto the movie.
Exactly. I like this.
Well,
I like how much power you have right now.
I do too.
Robin, you said that you got a lot, so kick it off.
I do. All right. So I do want to quickly say, Camila said last year, she was like, you know what movie I really recommend? Rye Lane. I finally watched that. It is so fucking good. Everybody should watch that movie, especially if you like rom-coms.
Yes.
I've just been very sad recently, and I was in like a major funk that night, and it like completely lifted me out of it.
Yay.
It was so great. So thank you for that recommendation, and I just wanted to like pay it forward to our listeners. If you also waited too long to take Camila's advice, take mine now. Megalopolis. I really had a good time.
Oh my God.
Like, obviously that is not a good movie. Like, that is a big old pile of nonsense. And it did kind of wear out its welcome. Like, as it became more sincere, I became less on board with it. But I had a great time, and I honestly think, like, more people should watch this. Like, even, like, non-super cinema nerds should be watching this to be like, okay, that sure is something. And I did dress up as WoW Platinum for Halloween, or for the Halloween show I did, which was a very fun costume to do.
No criticism for WoW Platinum. Everything about WoW Platinum worked.
Yes. I saw the TV glow. Have either of you seen that?
Not yet.
I had a ticket last night and was not feeling well enough to go.
Oh, okay. Well, it's on Homebox.
It's on, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's on Homebox.
I know. I wanted to give the theatrical experience.
That's fair. I mean, it's a movie about television.
Right. That's true.
I mean, it's really a movie about being trans, but it's a movie about television. So I really, really liked that movie. And I thought, especially in comparison to Megalopolis, and then also another movie I saw this week or yesterday was The Substance. Have either of you seen that?
Not yet.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll talk about The Substance in a second, but it's like, I feel like all of these movies are like, because they're actually saying something, it's like, oh my God. I feel like we are so like starved for like original content and ideas that like it truly feels like a miracle if somebody like pulls off one of those movies. But I saw the TV Glow is by far the most successful of those three, in my opinion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Sean, you want to talk about The Substance?
Yeah, The Substance is great.
Okay.
Robin seems to have a different opinion.
I don't think it's bad. I very much, similar to Megalopolis, I'm like, I am glad I am watching this original movie with original ideas, sort of. You know what I mean? And I'm like, but ultimately, I think it's a failure. I was really surprised. I mean, like, Sean is amongst the people I follow on Letterboxd far in the. Like, it's tons of 5 stars on the people I follow. So, I mean, I'm not a gore person, so I didn't get, like, pleasure out of how gross it is.
Oh, wow.
It's so incredibly gross. But I was trying to see it with my friend Jennifer, and she couldn't make it. And I said, I don't know how to talk about The Substance without being homophobic. Because when I was watching that movie, I was certain that a cis gay man directed it. And I feel like the biggest fans of it are going to be cis gay men. And it's actually directed by a woman, but it felt like it was for a cis gay man's audience of, aren't female bodies the most disgusting thing on the planet?
Oh, wow.
And which is very rude to gay men, and I'm sorry. But I said that to Jennifer, and she said it's the inverse of Challengers, which is a gay man making a movie for straight women about gay men, or not straight men. So I'm like fascinated. I've had 12 hours to process what Jennifer said, and I'm still processing it with you all. But I felt like this movie thinks that women are disgusting.
Huh.
I deferred to Mary Beth. I mean, I gave it 4 stars on Letterboxd. My only serious criticism is that I thought that it was so excited to be as goopy and gory as possible that it may have undercut some of its moments by just turning
being
on
disgusting.
The blood hose. When, you know, it could have said everything it was saying without that, and but Mary
also,
Beth.
Sorry, speaking of Luca Guadagnino, it's like, I've seen this before in Suspiria 2018.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this money shot is not all that exciting to me.
Yeah, I didn't think that's what made it work, but I mean, Mary Beth is the one who said 5 stars best movie of the year.
Yeah.
And can only talk about how validated it made her feel in acknowledging, you know, the impossibilities of aging and beauty standards.
Mm.
And, you know, maybe that's going to vary depending on how many other movies you've seen that explore that and whether or not this is, you know, doing it in your genre or not. But, you know, I thought it was a very effective way to tell that story.
Yeah, I mean,
with a ridiculously good cast. I mean, the if you count the third lead as Dennis Quaid, you know, they kind of all three of them nailed it perfectly. None more than Demi Moore.
Demi Moore is great.
Very good, but Demi Moore is a career best, even maybe. It's just so good, and she has to do so much.
Yeah, I thought she was great. My other criticism of it is way too long. Like, that is a should have been a short, and I understand why things aren't shorts, because nobody watches shorts, but that should have been 90 minutes, and it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's longer than Megalopolis.
It is a little long.
Yeah. And Mary Beth is by far in the majority, and maybe I am being super homophobic and also, I don't even know what, just defensive. I feel very defensive about the substance, I think. I'm like... I felt like this movie was trying to say, isn't it ridiculous what we expect of women who are aging? And what I saw was women are disgusting.
What else you see? We're all brought to silence by that opinion.
Okay, also...
But what else?
Will and Harper on Netflix. That's Will Ferrell and his friend Harper, whose last name I cannot remember, but she was a head writer of SNL.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doing a road trip and, like, reconnecting after she came out as trans. And I was a little hesitant going into this. I thought that maybe it would be kind of, like, celebrity back patty. Like, look at me being such a good friend. It's not that at all. I mean, like, I'm cis, so maybe it does read that way to trans people. But I thought it was a really just nice, like, friends! Friendship is nice! Like, it made me feel good about friendships. Mm. And I also love the running theme of people in the Midwest or across the country being encountering celebrity Will Ferrell and going, oh, hey. Just being completely like, oh, cool. And I assume they kind of edited that as a runner more so that is the normal response to him. But I found it deeply funny. And then the other thing I want to say, The Wild Robot. Did any of y'all see that?
No.
I keep thinking about it because people seem to love it.
Some people really, really love it. I thought it was fine. I do want to say Lupita Nyong'o is a fucking genius. Like, she is just one of the best actors that we have working. The fact that she, like, made me care so much through a voice role about a robot, I'm like, you're one of the best who's ever done it.
Aw.
Yeah, but I was only kind of mid on the movie. That's it. That's it. All of those many, many things.
It's getting to Megalopolis and The Substance in the same stretch of time. You deserve some kind of a medal. Camila.
I finally saw Inside Out 2 and damn it. Like, not Pixar telling me about my mental health state. Like, damn. Like, that's like, that shit is deep. Like, that's some really good work there, Pixar. Like, I cried like a fucking monster in the middle of it. It's just when Joy says, "Let anxiety let her go." Oh, Jesus. it's soul crushing, but also uplifting. Like, yes, absolutely. All ages, go watch Inside Out too. I watched Apartment 7A.
What is that?
It's supposed to be a prequel to Rosemary's Baby.
What?
And I think it's Paramount Plus, I think it's on. It stars...
There was a minute where I thought, maybe nope.
It's actually not bad. I'm most impressed with the girl what is her name? She played Anna Delphi, and she was on the Ozarks.
Julia Garner.
Yeah, she plays the lead, and
I really like her.
Yeah, she is great in it, and Diane Weiss is the kindly older woman, and you know, who's married, who has her husband, and they offer her the apartment to stay in, you know, rent free and all that business.
So is Diane Weiss playing Ruth Gordon's character from Rosemary's Baby?
Who's I've seen Rosemary's Baby once.
The only reason that I'm able to access this is because Ruth Gordon won the Oscar for that. Okay.
Well, her name was Minnie. The character's name is Minnie or Mimi or something like that. So maybe. But it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Same character.
Oh wow, okay. So that's
cool. Getting two-time Academy Award winner Diane Weiss. That's cool.
Well, now I know why she was doing this a voice. Like she was doing a voice accent.
She's doing Ruth Gordon.
Okay. So yeah, that makes sense now. So I'm like we could have done this without this, Diane. But it was very interesting. And again, I know I'm in like the minority where this is, but I don't think Rosemary's Baby is that great of a film.
I don't actually. I feel like Rosemary's Baby, maybe I am wrong here. I feel like that's one of those movies, kind of like Beetlejuice, where like it more exists as like a source of pop cultural touchstones than as an actually good movie.
Yeah. But I thought it was done very well. And I saw Smile 2, which.
Both of you saw that.
Did you see that, Sean? I liked it.
Yeah. Were you at the screening?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Was it? Yeah, I was. I was literally hiding in the back because I was feeling so crappy.
Yes,
I saw both of you logged it the same night, and I knew that there was the screening, and I had to work, and I was like, "Oh, FOMO." So I'm glad you didn't talk to each other.
Sorry to miss you, but not sorry.
But yeah, I'm glad I did miss you. If you're sick,
coughing in a corner.
Oh, that was
you go first.
I enjoyed it. I think I liked it better than the first one, which doesn't happen very often for me. I also don't remember a lot from the first one. Was that like last year that was out?
It's two years ago. 2 years ago, but no, I don't remember it.
I think they did a really great job, the director and the editing of, you know, because we spend a lot of time where the character doesn't know what's real and what's not. And then I think they did a great job of putting the audience in that same space, that same headspace. And that's not just, you know, with the storytelling, but also with like the camera movements and the angles and a lot of the editing and lighting and things like that. So that's what I really appreciated. I appreciated there wasn't a bunch of gratuitous fucking nudity for no reason, like a bunch of like sexy stuff. And I liked the girl. I didn't know that she was Jasmine in the live action Aladdin. Mm-hmm. I spent the entire movie thinking that she reminded me a lot of Sarah Michelle Gellar, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm just like,
when you say that, do you mean it as a compliment?
Yeah. It was like, cause she was given those like scared Buffy big eyes, and then the one giant tear would well up right there at the rim and then roll down.
She was one of our great criers.
Yes. I enjoyed Smile too.
I agree with you about Naomi Scott is her name. I thought she handled it well, and man, did she have to carry it. It's also also in the Too Long Club. It's like 2 hours and 8 minutes, and she is at the center of the frame for the vast majority of that time.
She was in Charlie's Angels.
I didn't see that.
Oh, she's one of the new angels. Yes,
I really like her.
I also really like... what's it? Ray Nicholson.
Oh yeah.
Son of Jack Nicholson.
Mm. Oh.
Who had inherited his father's rubbery face and ability to lose his shit. the scene in the car, I'm like, "Oh man, are you Jack Nicholson's son?"
Yeah.
That's great. I don't like these movies.
Oh yeah.
I think that, you know, this was a little bit better than the first one because I did think that it had a lot to say, especially about anxiety and the pressure. And it's a more effective like Perils of Fame movie than several of the real Perils of Fame movies. Like this is a better Amy Winehouse movie than the Amy Winehouse movie. But I think it's all jump scare. I think it's all, you know, we made the jump scare noise and you're supposed to go ah. And I don't like that it is so focused on like mental health, but we're showing people end themselves on screen constantly. It feels, and I watch a lot of horror. That's where we were talking about The Substance. I watch a lot of extreme horror. This is the series that I'm like, this is really dark and messed up, and it feels weird to me that people treat it like Five Nights at Freddy's. Like, I feel like people are like, oh, good time horror movies, Happy Death Day, smile. And I'm like, this is a little darker. There's an incongruity to me with how dark the subject matter is and how people treat this. Mm-hmm. Did you hear the child that was in our screening on Tuesday night?
Yeah, the hell. Yeah. Like, what was that
about? I was like, I mean, that's not the movie's fault. Maybe it's the marketing's fault. But there was more to like about this one, but I did not love it.
I think one of the things that keeps me from this, like, being completely on board with this franchise, and those are really great points, is that there's the lore, whatever it is, whatever this thing is, I'm not accepting, or I'm not understanding, like, why, like, the why of it all. And it's not a good backstory for whatever this is that's possessing everybody.
You know what has very little to do with anything? The smiling?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just spooky. I mean, it's you're possessed by this demon thing, and it makes you lose your sense of reality, and eventually you have to end yourself in front of somebody else, and then it passes on. None of that involves the smiling. It's just creepy when people smile and look down a little bit. Like, it's... Yeah.
The only thing I know about these movies is that face. Like, Sean told me on Monday when he was like, I assume you're not going to the screening because you don't want to watch a bunch of people unalive themselves. And I was like, correct. I mean, I also had to work. But yeah, it is effective marketing.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, they were at a preseason basketball game, too, sitting right behind the scorekeeper's table. But yeah, I am in the minority on the smile movies. Most people are much more in line with what Camille is saying. So anything else?
That is it.
Well, we've covered two of my big ones, Smile and The Substance. So let's not delay. Joker 2. Fuck everybody. I liked it.
All right.
Camille, did you see it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Here's what my opinion of why it's so... I mean, it succeeds in spite of his direction. I am on record that Todd Phillips is a bad director. Mm. But I think the reason it's so hated and it has a D-minus cinema score is because the people who are going to enjoy this the least are the people who like the Joker. Like, it's a Joker movie where he never does Joker things. He sits around and thinks and sings. And so I think that a lot of the vitriol is, you know, they saw the last one and people always like make the Joker into a weird, misinterpret the Joker and make him into an icon. And, you know, that's a dissertation we don't have time for here, but at least the last one, he was still doing the Joker stuff. And this one has no Joker stuff. And so the fans went and saw it, and they got a sad meditation on depression and not being able to tell if people like you for you or for the you that you project into the world, and the nature of celebrity. And they were sad and went home. And a lot of these debates go into... It's not that I hated it because it was a musical. I hated it because it was a bad musical. Yeah, it's two criminals in a penitentiary singing program. They're not going to sound, they're deliberately not going to sound like Broadway stars.
Right.
I think it's for me because it's obsessed with old Hollywood musicals and it's weird and off-putting and kind of slow and deliberately unconventional, to use words that don't really mean anything. But for me, I just really had a good time and liked it and liked what they did with it, while acknowledging that most people won't.
I'm not going to go see it, but it's probably going to be on Max, like, next week. and I will probably watch it when it comes on Max out of morbid curiosity. But a lot of people are saying, like, the thesis of this movie is, if you liked the movie Joker, you're an asshole. And
yeah,
I am here for that. And I also think that I like courtroom dramas, and I've heard that it is, a lot of it is a courtroom drama. And also, mm-hmm. I will say, apparently some people did not know it was a musical going in, which I find surprising. Although, studios, please stop with the secret musicals.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't completely... Do them or don't.
I wasn't fully aware that it was a musical until people started talking about it, actually.
I'm just so relieved, because I read like a tweet or something years ago when they first were announcing this project that made me understand that it was going to be a musical like The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. I'm not sure I'm saying that correctly, but where it's like there's no songs, but they're just always singing. They sing their feelings and all the dialogue is sung, which is like the worst thing in the world as far as I'm concerned. So I was like, this sounds like the worst movie I could ever be forced to watch. So I am hugely relieved that it's just a jukebox musical where they don't even have that many songs. Like, great.
No, I mean, sometimes he's in a dream sequence or has slipped into fantasy, but it's usually like, we're in this prison, Arkham prison choir, and we're singing a song.
Okay. I will say, I am a little apprehensive because you're saying that Harley Quinn is a criminal in this.
Spoilers. Like
anyway.
I can't answer the question.
All right, fine.
Also, she is committed in Arkham as the movie begins.
Yeah, dislike. Spoilers, fine. Anyway, I am very much having schadenfreude about the failure of Folie à Deux. But I will say, and I said to Sean when I saw him in person the other day, it feels like a monkey paw situation, because the box office failure of this movie means that Terrifier 3 is now on our list.
Ugh. Yeah, Terrifier 3, number one movie in America. I still haven't watched any of those. Not watching them, I can stay happy for them. Because everyone says that the filmmakers, and especially that guy, I forget his name, I'm sorry, the guy that plays Art the Clown, everyone in the horror community says these are the nicest people in the world, and God bless them, and everyone is so happy for their success. And apparently they fought to retain the rights to the franchise and passed up on some... offers to buy it that would have taken the rights away from them, and are reaping the financial benefits of that. Now they have a number one movie with easily profitable in its first weekend. I get to be very happy for them, because I haven't watched those movies and decided I actually hate them. So we'll hang on to that as long as I can.
Tony, spare us.
I know. Any other stuff I wanted to mention? I finally watched Abigail. It's fun. It's on Peacock right now with all the Halloween season stuff. If you just want a newer horror movie to throw on, it's interesting. This was this is conceived as one of those, we're doing the Dark Universe, but not calling it the Dark Universe anymore. That started with the Elizabeth Moss Invisible Man. This was greenlit as a really quiet Dracula's Daughter reboot, and then they just got away from that. You know, that kind of doesn't add to it or take from it, but the cast is really... Melissa Barrera is so good. And this isn't the major problem with her being fired for Scream, because, you know, she had an opinion one day. But, right. Like, in addition to that being bullshit, it's like, you got rid of this talent over that? Like,
exactly.
Apparently they already knew that they weren't going to have Jenna Ortega for long, because Jenna is too in demand, right? So you're already losing her, and you're like, well, this one's incredibly talented and popular and great in these movies. Fire her. Like, what the hell is the matter with you?
Yeah, that makes zero sense to me, because I wasn't, but not for Jenna and, what's her name, Maria?
Melissa.
Melissa. I wouldn't have been interested in this new reboot, this new envisioning or whatever, the continuance of Scream, and they could actually keep going without, like, we don't, with those two, we don't need Courtney and Nev. Like, it's, let them rest. Let these ladies.
I keep saying it about Scream 6, where Courtney comes in and says, Sydney is sitting this one out. She sends her, this is on the, in the movie, Sydney's sitting this one out. She sends her love, but she's going to stay where it's safe. That was an option?
Yeah.
It took you five movies to go like, I'm going to fucking stay up here.
You know where the killer's not? Here, yeah. Where I am.
Saturday night is fun, but certainly not essential. It's, you know, if you're a comedy nerd, you'll find stuff to be a comedy nerd about.
Isn't that what you guys are?
Yeah, I said it was like low on my list because I'm a comedy nerd, and so I have to like think about it when I watch it.
Yeah.
I will say all of the people who I from the theater that I've talked to about it have been big fans.
Yeah, you could see it, you could not. And a angry criticism of United Airlines. You need to have the TV in the chair in all of the planes or none of the planes. Because I watched half of Psycho on the way to Chicago, thinking second half on the way back. And then I got on a plane without the TV in the back of the chair.
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to watch it on my phone. Sorry. Anyway, should we draw a movie?
We should.
Is there...
The slightest of recommendations to the Hulu movie, Hold Your Breath, which is it's Dust Bowl horror. Is there a ghost or are we going insane because it's the Dust Bowl and there's nothing but dust and sadness? But starring Sarah Paulson, who is so good.
Yeah, I will almost watch her in just about anything.
I was going to say, yeah. I feel like you've sold me.
Yeah. And Eben, you know, Eben. Eben Moss Backer?
The guy from The Bear.
The guy from The Bear.
Yeah.
And The Dust Bowl. We don't get many movies in The Dust Bowl. Yeah. Because it's bleak. Yeah. It's not Terrifier 2. It's Paranormal Activity 4. Eh?
Okay, sure.
I've never seen any of those. Is that going
to
be
You don't
an
have
issue
to. No,
me?
No, okay. No.
If there were activity happening, could you identify it as paranormal?
I don't know. I mean, do I only have camcorder footage? Because
I don't know. I mean, it's not going to the problem is we're back in 5 days. Just to peel the curtain back, we have to record these kind of back to back. Otherwise, I'd be like, well, just watch all four of them. They're like 80 minutes long.
I mean, if they're
are they all on Max? I mean, I own them all. Like, I already have the box set.
Catherine Newton's in it. She's great. Low-key, oh, yeah. Scream queen, Catherine Newton.
Have you seen
yes,
the first one,
is,
at least?
It is on Max.
I've never seen any of these.
I mean, watch the first one. Yeah. This one is 88 minutes. The original is even shorter.
Yeah, I think it's worth a watch, the first one, at least. Just...
All right, I will take your recommendation.
Yeah, the original is 86.
Yeah, I think they're all on Max.
All right, well, maybe I'm going to do a marathon. We'll see. We'll see in 5 days.
Yeah, let us know. On the one hand, it's easy. On the other hand, that's a lot of staring at blue images of chairs. Before we get to that, The Curse of La Llorona. April 19th, 2019, what was the number one song in America?
I had no idea what was going on musically in 2019.
I know, 2019 is the weirdest.
Taylor Swift?
It's the weirdest year, because it's like, it is a century ago, because it's pre-COVID.
Right.
But exactly. It's technically only that 5 years also, ago.
Yeah. Right, it's the year that's actually La Llorona is the month that Kaja was born. This
adorable.
When this was released.
So
right?
Wow, this is very much a different lifetime for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like there is BK and AK. Like
is it Taylor
okay,
Swift?
So picture driving around with your newborn and what's
no, it would be
is,
like maddeningly like getting out of Florida.
Cars.
Like I have no idea. I have no idea.
It is not Taylor Swift. I
is
don't
it
think
Drake?
Taylor has an neither Taylor nor Drake nor I almost said Dwake again. And you know what? That feels right. Neither Taylor nor Dwake had a number one in 2019.
That's
was
wild.
2019
Ariana
Old
Grande?
Town Road year.
It was the old town road year, just barely.
Okay.
But that rain started April 13th and lasted until August 23rd. So, wow. Yes, we are in the old town road era.
What a nice time.
Good for him, yeah. Good for us, good for music. Aren't there like 14 videos for Old Town Road? They're all better than The Curse of La Llorona, I guarantee.